and welcome to the Live Printing Impressions and Implant Graphics webinar, Seize the Wide Format Advantage, sponsored by Canon Solutions America. I'm Bob Neubauer, editor of Implant Graphics Magazine and the host of today's event. Before we get started, a few quick tips for you. If you have any technical difficulties, troubleshoot by clicking on the Help widget at the bottom of the console marked with a question mark, or let us know via the Q&A box. You can also use the Q&A box to submit your questions to today's panelists. We'll be addressing select questions at the end of the hour, but you can send them in at any time. Please make sure that you turn off any pop-up blockers on your computer so you can utilize all of the widgets on this console. Click on the Tips for Attendees widget below to learn what all of the widgets on this console can do and how you can customize your experience. Our webinar today will feature two speakers with lots of wide format experience, Mike Moran, owner of Alpha Graphics Chicago, and Stephen Strew, vice president of Beeline and Blue in Des Moines. As the editor of a national graphic arts magazine, I've talked to a lot of printers about their wide format printing services. Two things that I frequently hear are that their wide format printing business grew faster than they imagined it would, and that the equipment paid for itself quickly from all the new business it generated. Once customers see what their wide format printer can do, they come up with new ideas for wide format graphics. Many printers end up having to get a second wide format device just to keep up. So to give you an idea what the wide format picture looks like, I'm going to show you some data collected by InfoTrends in partnership with my company, North American Publishing Company. So here you can see that a pretty large chunk of commercial and implant printers already offer wide format printing. About 85% of the print-for-pay operations and 77% of implants are already handling wide-format printing. Looking at the types of technologies used, you can see the less expensive aqueous inkjet printers dominate. They offer great quality and print on a variety of substrates, but their speed is a little slower than other technologies. A lot of commercial and quick printers also have eco-solvent and UV-curable inkjet printers, which are faster but a little more expensive. Latex printing, odor-free and solvent-free, is another growing technology. And here you can see that printers have plans to expand their wide format services by adding another printer. 28% of commercial printers and 23% of implants intend to install another printer. What are they planning to add? Well, in this chart here, you can see that UV curable inkjet, both flatbed and roll fed, tops the list for commercial printers, while for implants, it's latex and eco-solvent inkjet. So let's take a look at what they're printing. Probably no surprise that posters and signage top the list here, but you can also see window graphics, backlit displays, decals, vehicle wraps. These are all big items. So I'm going to show you a few samples and examples that I've collected. Out in Portland, Oregon, Fred Meyer Stores Corporate Print Services has three 60-inch latex printers, which they use to print signage and window graphics for the retail chain Fred Meyer. With latex technology, no special ventilation is required. Colors are more vivid and more durable. And the manager at Fred Meyer told me that compared to aqueous inkjet, which they used to have, their costs dropped 30 to 40%. There's an interesting application from Murray State University in Murray, Kentucky. They use their Canon Image Prograph IPF 9000 printers to print fatheads of students and faculty. And, you know, this idea caught on at campus and brought the shop a lot of business. Allegra Castleton, a commercial printing company in Indianapolis, uses its wide format printers to produce interior and exterior signage as well as vehicle wraps, as you can see there. Another printer that does a lot of wraps is the Hershey Company's printing operation. They wrapped the company's delivery trucks and even some elevators around the company. And so all it took was giving clients the idea, and they thought of new applications. University of New Hampshire Printing and Mailing Services has been having great success printing on a substrate called Wall Noodle from MacTac. This uses an acrylic pressure-sensitive adhesive, so you can press it against a wall, reposition it, and remove it without leaving any adhesive residue behind. Once customers saw that they could do this, they came up with all kinds of ideas. Bus signage, wall decals, like the ones at the bottom there, for dorm rooms. One college ordered all of the signage for its new building printed on this Wall Noodle. and dining services at the university ordered this fake brick wall to be printed up for a Harry Potter-themed event, and then they liked it so much they just kept it up afterwards. So thanks to unique applications and the continuing need for signage, the majority of printers that offer wide format say this business is growing. 74% of print for pay and 67% of implants say that their wide format volume grew over the past year. It's clearly a great opportunity, and yet some printers haven't yet ventured into wide format. Some of the reasons they give from this survey are that they don't think that their main customers have any demand for wide format, or the market is already too competitive in their area. They also say they just don't know enough about it, and you know, it's hard to find time to look into it. They think they maybe don't have enough space. A lot of implants are saying that they don't think they can effectively sell the service, and also that the costs of the equipment are too high. So our speakers today can give their perspectives on those reasons. But I think the main point to keep in mind is that signage is crucial, and your customers probably do have a need for it. An interesting survey by FedEx Office reveals that 76% of consumers that they surveyed have entered a store simply because the sign caught their interest. 75% told someone else about the business based on the signage. 68% purchased a product or service after seeing a sign, and you know, about 58% are deterred from even entering a store based on the absence of signs. And businesses understand this. A recent InfoTrend survey asked various industries what share of their marketing budget they spend on wide format. And you can see here that it's a significant share, from 15 to 20%. So opportunities await. To tell you more about how they capitalized on the wide format opportunity, we have two gentlemen with us today with successful wide format operations. The first is Mike Moran, owner of an Alpha Graphics print center in downtown Chicago. Mike has worked in the printing industry for 20 years and has been incorporating wide format offerings into his sales mix for the last 15 years. So, Mike, are you ready there?
Sure, yeah. Thank you for the introduction, Bob.
All right.
So, yeah, briefly about me. As Bob mentioned, we're in downtown Chicago, right there in the West Loop, and we have evolved over the last couple of years into, as opposed to just printing, the marketing communications company. We offer design, printing, and mailing, and then have offered the marketing solutions and graphic communications over about the last 5 years or so. And the forms of printing we offer are the offset, digital, and wide format printing. And so we will get into the wide format and why we did that. It was probably around 15 years ago, and what really sparked the interest was through our client requests. It was we were offering other solutions, and we were oftentimes having to field that question, could you do this poster for me? Could you do these signs for me? And so we went out to find a vendor that we could align ourselves with, not having the equipment at the time. That vendor, and I agreed with pricing, and really, it's much to my surprise, everyone seemed thrilled. The vendor was happy, we were happy, and then the clients were happy as we extended that pricing onto them. And really with that analysis, I kind of determined that I could probably be happier in that equation. It was I really didn't really understand it, and then I went out to research the equipment and saw that there was a low cost of entry. And then allowed me, I mean, with that and evaluating the response times that I could increase and the other benefits of bringing in house, it became a no-brainer with that analysis, and then just leaving the future, I mean, the rest of the analysis depending on the space that was available, which we had for a roll-fed printer, which I'll be showing you the picture here. I mean, they don't take up space, much space at all. They can be tucked into a corner, and really when it comes to a roll-fed and the substrates, you can stand them right up, and the square footage isn't that big of a deal. I mentioned versatility requirements on the previous slide, which came into play when your options back then were more or less with the type of ink. They did offer a variation of a UV ink versus dye and speed. And so we had actually purchased one that was 42 inches and realized that we should be going out to 54. that was one of the adjustments we had to make, and the Canon, when dealing with them, was nice enough to offer us a deal on a trade-in within actually a year of us purchasing the initial machine that we had bought. The next step that we realized in a hurry was we were going to need to offer some other options when it came to the finishing, and that was the laminating and mounting. And once again, the analysis came into play. What percentage of this were we sending out? Is this a worthwhile investment? And once again, the space. And as you can see on the sides of that machine, really, you can tuck that away until you need to use it. And when you need to use it, your board sizes can go to 8 feet long, so you really need around 16 to 20 feet to be able to put a board through. But the square footage requirements really were not that intimidating when you took a look at it. Now, this was a little bit more of an investment than the roll printer, but it was something that we were able to analyze and justify through our experience with our clients' demand. Then we were able to, about 6 years ago, expand our space, and that's when I decided I could spoil myself with that elbow room that we had just acquired. So we went into a used piece of equipment that was a hybrid machine that allows you both to be able to run direct to substrate as well as the roll fed. And this was really, I felt, one of the reasons and the versatility for myself, the amount of labor I was saving by not having to coat and mount boards was just, I mean, that was the justified reason for being able to purchase this in itself, and not me myself then not even realizing all the other benefits that was coming along with it when it came to the weatherproofed UV inks and some of the versatility that we were able to experience being able to print on something up to 2 inches in width and experiment a little bit as to the different requests that would be coming in from the clients, which I'll be getting into in future slides. And then just the beginning of this year, our piece of equipment, not that we don't still have our original hybrid, but we have had the demand to be able to branch out to purchase the OSA Arizona 460, which is a true flatbed. And the true flatbed allows us to utilize that bed to be able to print, to be able to lay substrates down on the bed and kind of bring the ink to that. It also allowed us the use of white ink and a varnish that we could also put onto the substrates, no matter what that substrate was. It's a bit of a higher quality. The speed is faster. So the evolution of large format and what the different technologies have to offer, we feel that the Arizona 460 brought us up to be able to compete with most people out there. And this will get us into who's buying the wide format. It was the next three slides are going to kind of combine themselves when I'm describing this. The retail will be doing the window signs and point of purchase. The real estate is more just the for sale signs you may see, some lawn signs, event planners. They were a part of our core business that probably benefited the most from us bringing in this large format. They were doing banners to advertise, directional signage within their events, then at the event, sponsor signage, and majority of that just run on foam core. And it was a very nice complement to the stuff they were currently offering, or we were currently offering to them when it came to invitations and all the planning stages of any given event. I mentioned Road Warriors, and that was more or less those guys running into trade shows with the retractable banners. We do a good deal of retractable banners, and those come in lots of shapes and sizes. The artists I mentioned, because this the equipment, the roll-fed printer, which we had the photo of, the Canon 9000, is a 12-color unit that really can, I mean, if you put it on high quality, each one of these pieces of equipment has different modes. The high quality mode running 12 color really is even pleasing to the artist's eye. As critical as they may have been in the past coming into our store and proofing things, the 12 color gamut that it offers seem to satisfy their needs. And then in the bottom I mentioned creative individuals, because the creative individuals really have been our best resource in regard to broadening our portfolio. They they come in with what seem to be some wild ideas. And in the end, once we discuss things and do a little bit of research on potential substrates and whether we can provide them what it is they're looking for, that then goes into our portfolio, and more likely than not, we're going to be selling it to somebody else. So once again, we go into the wide format printing services, and I mentioned most of these in the previous slide, but wall graphics, that the fat heads that go up on the walls, point of purchase displays, signs, banners, as Bob had mentioned, photos, as I just mentioned, vehicle graphics is an interesting one that we do not do as much. That's one of the reasons that Bob, I think, had mentioned. It was a saturated market, and for my feeling, there was a number of people supplying that and a number of people that were very good at it. That needed a little bit more square footage for a garage or a place to be able to provide the install. I think the one-stop shop element of that was necessary and not one that I would have wanted to have been producing the material, providing it to somebody else to have to install that. Office decor has been a surprising one for us. That's not one that really came from our current clientele, but we've been receiving requests for that and has been very well received. You can print wallpaper. That's one of the benefits of the latex printer, which I have yet to invest in, but the smell coming off of latex isn't what it was for solvent printers or even a slight smell to the UV. Latex seems to be the favorite when it comes to printing this wallpaper. And the budgets that seem to come along with wallpaper, it's not like the print world. You're in a different environment where you're paying to the project and not necessarily the paper. So it's an interesting transition. Charts and presentations were our original applications. And once again, I can't help but to put clients' imagination, because that's, as I'll go to the next slide, you'll see some interesting substrates that we've printed on, starting with the basics. I mean, the papers and the canvas, the vinyl, window clings. I'll tell you that the white ink that we've now been able to print off of the Osei is certainly a benefit when it comes to printing those. But as we go down, there's nothing that glamorous about the Gator Board, Sintra, or Coroplast, but when it gets into the plastics, the corrugated boxes, aluminum, we've printed on tiles that people are putting in their homes. We've printed on wood boxes that people are giving as gifts. We've printed on ceramics. It was a plates that people had asked, and then even drum covers, which was the member of a band that came in and wanted to put his logo on his drum cover. And if it was under 2 inches and you can spray the ink, we would take the chance. And it's granted we're spoiled with two machines at the time, and we have a little bit of time to experiment, but it's something that if you were in the initial phases of getting into the market, you may have the time on that machine, and it's been a very, it kind of re-energizes the staff as well when it comes to being able to experiment with that, those types of things. So bringing in business, as I had mentioned, it's just kind of recognizing within your current customers who has this use, and we were spoiled enough to have them force our hand and ask us if it was something we provided. And then we were able to learn which markets were the ones looking for this type of offering. And we were able to then penetrate those markets within our current client base and just to let them know we had it and let them know where we were applying it. And that's, I suppose, right along with promoting the wide format benefits. Bob touched on it briefly and the importance of signage and exposure. It's logical once you point it out to them and how many signs you see when you're walking through the streets. And the open house reference is something that we utilize when because of the most recent purchase, we brought people in to see it, and it was just amazing how many thoughts and ideas they generated themselves as to what unique applications they may be able to get through the machines. But if nothing else, they kind of took a look around in the room and the samples and said, oh, yeah, we do this. And if you can be a one-stop solution for us, this will be a huge benefit for us because of the, you know our brand, you know our color consistency, and you're preparing the front end of all this. But if you already know the colors we're looking for and the theme that we're going after, you're going to be a more valuable vendor to us. And so this also goes into the what we learned, that was a little bit of it with our existing client base, but we were also, our people were familiar with this type of process, I suppose, receiving a file and sending it to print. There was nothing really too much to do in regards to the education. It was using a print driver and sending to just a larger printer. And so we didn't have to hire anybody to this. Our bindery person was able to do the finishing, utilizing our existing client base, and then utilizing our existing space. In the beginning, like I said, Rolf said printer, we did not take a lot of space, and it was a very low cost of entry. And once we did the analysis, it was one that really became a no-brainer in our world. And the growth and experience, your hand is a little bit forced when it comes to somebody asking you whether you can print on some foreign substrate, but really it's a couple phone calls away to suppliers. It's that end of things in regards to the education required has certainly broadened due to the options, but that also allows for you, the individual, to get creative on your own and come up with some unique products you may be able to offer that really don't have limits when it comes to the price that you're going to put on that, because it's your own creativity and uniqueness to any given product that may be new to a market where there isn't a determined assumed price that would be put on that. It's more or less an excitement that they see that the product may be able to offer them. So with that, that would be the end of my presentation, and I'll hand it back to Bob.
Good, good. I'm curious, when you mentioned the wallpaper and the people who are doing office decor, did they just come to you, or were they existing customers and you saw that they
had need? Some of it was just through our search engine marketing, and we had certain terms within that that allowed probably, I mean, when I'm counting, I'm literally counting on within two hands. I think we've had six that came through that where once again, as I was expressing the experience that a number of comes with, you've got to roll dice, you've got to go out there, and you take as much advice and tutelage from those that have done it, from the suppliers are generally very well educated. And so we had those six leads, but then as you get that experience and you go into your current clientele, they then embraced it. And as I said, it was very unique. We actually, the last one, it's a, I want to say, 100-foot hallway that they want to put the skyline in. And once again, we're going out on a limb a little bit, but I mean, if you've got a 54-inch printer, the panels that people are requesting, you're not printing it out in one big strip. You learn how to install and they get the correct size panels and the overlaps, and it's not rocket science. It's just gaining an understanding. So it allowed us to broaden ourselves into that market.
Nice. You know, since we have a minute, somebody put a question directly to you. What percentage of your business now is wide format versus document printing? Do you have a...
Yeah, no, as of last year, it became 11% of our business, which, yeah, is in line with that. Digital color is our forte, and the 11% is actually, it's a decent contribution.
Well, there you go. Well, good. Well, and speaking of questions, I want to remind everyone that there is that Q&A tab at the bottom, and you just click on there and put a question in, and we'll sort through them later. But again, Mike, thank you, and I want to move to our next speaker, who is Stephen Strew, Vice President of Beeline and Blue in Des Moines, Iowa, where he has helped increase overall revenue by 400%. Stephen has published articles in industry journals relating to large format printing and color management, and he's also taught a series of courses on industrial printing to design students at the Iowa State University. You'll probably pick up right away that he doesn't have a typical Midwest accent. He was born and raised on the eastern seaboard of South Africa, though he's lived in the U.S. since 1994. And Beeline and Blue, I happen to know, is one of the first places in the country to install the new high-speed Canon ColorWave 900, which prints about a foot a second. So let me turn things over to Stephen.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, and welcome everybody to this portion of the presentation. And Mike, really appreciate your insights, and you certainly set the table really well, which means that I don't have to spend quite as much time on some of the things that you did, which is awesome. So thank you very much, and looking forward to to being able to go through this next few minutes with you. I want to give you a little background on the company. Originally, it was Des Moines Blueprint Company, and we specialized in doing work for the architects, engineers, and contractors. And in 1994, we branched out into wide format color. That's when I came over from South Africa and was very, very fortunate to be in at the ground floor of the wide format industry. We started with some small, 36-inch inkjet and kind of went through the process. So we've been at this for just on about 20 years now. And as with most of the things in our industry, there's constant change and consequently there's constant reinvestment. And so we'll talk about some of the equipment that we have here, but the original equipment was the 36-inch wide format inkjet, obviously an aqueous base back in those days. And we also had a photographic imaging device, a photo laser printer, which we still have a version of that now. It's a wet process, has to go through photographic chemistry. And, of course, you can't do wide format printing and provide the full service if you don't have mounting and laminating capability. As far as the architectural construction side of our business, we're about evenly split now. Obviously, we started off with very little in the wide format side. Right now, we're pretty much 50-50 with the wide format and the construction industry, both showing good growth the last year of this past year and going on into this year. And color is keeping a pace with that, which is all good for us. We're enjoying it, the good economy right now. And we also sell and service wide format inkjet and engineering copiers as well as office copiers. So we do have three legs that our company stands on: the color, the construction industry printing, and the equipment reselling and servicing. So I'm tapping the button and nothing's happening. If someone can help me. I'm wondering if I have a problem on my end. I'll try and address it. All right, so what do we have by way of equipment? Well, we have a lot more equipment than this, but I wanted to hit the different types of equipment we have. We obviously have 60-inch finishing equipment. We have a panel saw. You know, we've got a wide variety of pieces of equipment that are necessary to do finishing. But as far as the imaging equipment is concerned, I mentioned the photo laser printer, and you'll see the maximum sizes next to it. We have a large grand format solvent printer. We have an Echo solvent. We actually have two Echo solvent printers. We have a latex printer. We have had a number of flatbeds. We used to have two 250 GTs, 4x8, and we went to space considerations. We went to one 8-foot by 10-foot, which can do two boards at a time, two 4x8 boards, but it also has the capability, which has still served us very well, to be able to do larger sizes, and, you know, most common larger sizes, 5-foot by 10-foot. We've never printed anything 8-feet by 10-feet, but it's capable of doing that. We also have something that goes along with the flatbed, and that is an iCut, a digital contour cutting device. When you're printing at the speeds that we can do on our Osei 550 XT flatbed, then you need to be able to keep up with the finishing. And even just straight cuts, even if they're not contour cuts, has made it possible for us to do larger jobs. We also have a growing segment of our market, which is fine art printing. We started it simply because we had a cruise scanner that's a large 42 by 60 inch bed capable of scanning up to 4 inches in depth. And we decided we would try and address this market, which we knew was troublesome, but we had the right person to do it. And it's been a pleasant surprise. It's taken a while, but that's one of the fastest growing departments we have right now. And we're enjoying that tremendously. And then last but not least is Osei's new ColorWave 900 that Bob referred to. We had one of the first ones in the country. And at this stage, we're able to print some amazing array of product on that, from architectural drawings in full color to artist renderings to posters, even retractable banner stands. The capabilities of this machine are far in excess of what we thought there was when we bought it. But we've been very pleasantly surprised, and new medias are coming out all the time. So we might spend a few more minutes on that a little bit later on in the presentation. As far as new technologies are concerned, the latest acquisition that we've gone through, the HP LaTeX printer using the LaTeX inks. As you may know, those are aqueous based. So they're environmentally friendly in many ways, including the fact that there's no odor. The drawback is the heat. It does require a lot of heat. I think it's 500 degrees that the material has to be heated up for the ink to adhere properly. And, of course, not all media is capable of handling that amount of ink. And so there's a lot of playing with ink and speed in order to get the right combination, but again, that's vastly improved in recent years, and so we're having a lot of success with that. And as Mike pointed out quite accurately, the office decor, the digital decor market is growing, and it's a very, very good market to be in. One of the primary reasons is because there's so much real estate involved. If you're doing a wall covering, you're not talking about a 24 by 36 inch print. You're talking about maybe a 20 by 30 foot wall. The other new technology is the MemJet that we were talking about here a few minutes away, the Osei ColorWave 900. And it's this waterfall printing technology. The paper moves, the head's stationary, and it's about 8 to 10 times faster than other inkjets. And we can produce about 800 construction drawings in an hour. We can even produce high-quality photo poster-type prints faster than we could do on our color laser printer. That's the photo laser. So all in all, a very good product. I just wanted to touch on this. Things that are also new is the using a program like Auris Press Matcher or Auris Color Tuner in order to do our color management, file submission, automatic pre-flighting, online stock proving has been huge. I've already talked about the digital decor. The wall covering design tool that is supplied with the HP is very useful to our customers. So these are just some of the latest things that we've gotten into recently. All right, and we're going to move to the next slide. The markets that we've enjoyed over the last 20 years have fluctuated, but I wanted to reduce it down to just a few manageable ones. I'm going to start at the bottom of my list, the in-house corporate communication, a relatively easy customer to deal with. Usually they have reasonable time frames, and their expectations of quality, again, are reasonable. Sometimes the worst part is that they might try and give you Microsoft files to image large format, and there could be problems with that. And then going again backward, the advertising agencies is a very, very good place to start because they have all the customers. So everything above that, manufacturing, agribusiness, insurance, retail, the franchises, those companies are often working through an advertising agency. If you can get the confidence of the advertising agency, you have access to all these other industries without having to try and target them directly. On the other hand, the negative side of advertising agencies is they're the exact opposite of your in-house corporate department. They're very high standards, very short turnaround times, and they're pretty aggressive when it comes to pricing. Although I will tell you that pricing is not the most important thing. In any of these markets, the most important thing is to get it right on time, every time. The good quality print when it's needed is golden. One of the things we've learned in our industry is you're only as good as your last job. All right, we've got quite a few slides to go, so I'm gonna jump over this. This is obviously things that you can look at for yourself, highlighting the banners, the point of purchase signs, wall coverings, the digital decor, office decor, these things. But I also want to add to that the window and builder and graphics. Again, anytime you've got a large surface area that you're covering, this is very good for business. More specialized applications, types of products that you would find being requested: magnets, canvas prints, which of course we can do on our fine art, but sometimes they're also wanted in volumes. Custom cutouts; those are the digital contour cuts. Vehicle wraps are obviously quite a commoditized product these days, but we still hold the line on pricing. And if it's not in their budget, then they would go somewhere else. But if they want us to do it, we are able to do it. We have our own installer. We also do a lot of, as Mike mentioned, the retractable banners, the pull-up banners. One of the things that we've done recently, and it's been fantastic because, again, you're just printing thousands and thousands of square foot, is construction site fence wraps. And, again, I would highly recommend that if you have an outdoor durable printing like solvent or something like that, printing fence wraps is a fantastic marketing opportunity. For the primary things that we do, the list is there. Obviously, banners, the retractable banner stands, and the graphics that go with that trade show exhibit. A lot of retail signage. The nice thing about that is that it's seasonal. It comes up regularly, sometimes every month, sometimes every quarter, but it goes on for years and years. So it's hard to get the business, but once you have it, it's great. And then, of course, rigid printing, rigid signage, that's all the things that we do on our flatbed printer. And as I mentioned previously, the wall and window graphics. I'm going to show some photos at the end, so I'm rushing a little bit. But I would like you to see the kind of work that we've been able to do. One of the things that people ask all the time is, how do I get into this business? I can tell you we got into it with 90% outsourcing, and we still outsource a huge percentage of the work because we're getting bigger and bigger jobs. Some of them we can't do in-house, and we outsource those. Some of the jobs we used to outsource, of course, over the last 20 years, we're now doing in-house. And so you can learn from the experience of outsourcing from the experts, the people that you're outsourcing to, get educated on the file types and so forth that are needed. You can build your market and of course, make some money along the way. Mike alluded to the same thing, and I second it 100%. Obviously, you're only as good as your last job. I said you need to have a good reputation, and a reputation as a one-stop shop is also tremendously advantageous. Remember, in our industry, we don't have price lists. We don't offer specials, nothing like that. We find that our customer service and outside salespeople are spending more time with consultation. And so by the time we're giving our customer information, we've already gotten the deal. This isn't a case of going out and quoting and trying to get the work. When they find out what we're capable of doing, the actual cost is relatively immaterial as long as it's in the right ballpark. So I want to talk about these first three points in the last few minutes that I have. There's two ways to approach this business. One is to do a boutique approach, which is to do one sign at a time, one 24 by 36 mounted and laminated on foam core. Maybe 10 24 by 36s would be a big job in a boutique environment, but everything is custom. Everything is a lot of hand-holding with the customer, a lot of time, on the phone and quotes and so forth. The other option is to get clients that are doing bigger volumes. You're spending more or less the same amount of time with them, but you're printing a lot more volume. And one of the problems with volume is that when you're getting into the business, you have a low-cost device with a high consumable cost, which makes it hard to compete on the volume jobs. If you go with a higher-cost device and you have a lower consumable cost, you can get into these bigger, much more profitable jobs. And so that's the dilemma when you're getting started, chicken and egg. It's what do you do, customer first? Well, many times you have to decide on your market, maybe do some outsourcing, and then decide, let me buy a higher cost device and a lower consumable cost. And reputation, again, I can't stress that enough, how important it is that you're consistent, accurate, and reliable. And then, of course, which technology? Obviously, you need to approach the vendors. You need to ask them for their referrals, but make sure that you have some idea from others in the industry what works under certain circumstances. The ColorWave 900 down there at the bottom of the slide, we're printing on 20-pound bond primarily, sometimes coded, sometimes uncoded. We also print a bit on 32-pound bond. We're a little bit more posted, but we do a lot of photographic prints on the photo satin material. There are retractable banners on the polyester material, and there's even an adhesive that you can use for some temporary signage. Here's some of the work that we've done in the vehicle wraps, even a helicopter, as you can see there. The window clings, these are day-night window graphics, so they light it at night from behind, and it looks like a backlit, but in the day with the full sun, it looks like a normal poster. That was done on the Osei flatbed, the Arizona 550 XT. These are perforated window vinyl graphics. You see the picture from the outside, but from inside, it you can see right out. This is the same application, but this is a five-story building that you see going up over here. Sorry, the slides aren't advancing as fast as I'd like. Then there's just your regular banner type applications. Some of them are large. Some of them are on, those pole banners are what they're called up in the top left-hand corner. That's a very nice application because they generally are changed out quite frequently. The wall coverings, as you can see here, there's a lot of real estate that gets covered when you do a wall covering job, and so it really makes it very profitable. All right. So we're nearly done. Rigid substrate printing for signage. These were all printed on our Arizona flatbed printer. And there were 60 of these grocery stores, and we printed all these signs. And as you can see, they're not small. So that was a good application. This other one in the top right-hand corner was a standalone. It was joined in the middle, and it was 2 4x8 sheets that we did. And again, this is just the most practical way to do this kind of signage, just to print directly on the substrate. There's an example of the cutouts. Here's an example of the point of purchase work that we do. These go in stores all over the country. Everything that you see there on the flat surfaces we printed, and it's again a good opportunity to do a lot of printing. That's the big advantage. The trick, of course, is to have the capability of doing it. And so I really appreciate your time. Thank you very much. This is where we are, where we're located, and sometimes people don't really know what we do. We do so many different things, and I just said, remember, this is where you can make it big. Thank you for your time.
Nice. Well, thank you very much, Stephen. Some very impressive materials there that you're printing. I was interested to hear you say that you got into the business with 90% outsourcing, and It sounds like a good tip for those out there who are afraid to make the immediate plunge but still want to get started as a way to do it. Just since we were talking about OSEI, Arizona. I'm gonna go through some questions now. We got a question on given the speed of the MemJet, what kind of drying time does it have?
Yes, no drying time at all. It comes out dry. It's an inkjet process, but it's instant drying. The speed of that machine, if you're doing a stack of 150 24 by 36 architectural sheets, obviously, they're going to stack up one on top of the other, so they have to be instant dry. But even the photo materials are instantly dry. So we have customers literally walk in, get a 4 foot by 8 foot, or 42 inch by 8 foot print, and we roll it up, put it in a tube, and they leave a few minutes after they walked in, and they love it.
Yeah, that is an impressive piece of equipment. I saw it at Canon's headquarters there. It's amazing. A couple of the questions sort of go around this point that you could both speak to is, do you wait until you have sales to justify upgrading your wide format equipment, or do you upgrade and then hope for sales? I mean, what's your perspective?
Do you want it, Stephen, or I?
Well, I was thinking I'd just been talking for so long.
Go ahead, Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
For us, it was, based upon the clients kind of drove our decisions. And as Stephen had referenced, we were able to outsource until we got a feel for the demand. And when the demand, we got comfortable with it, it was really a very comfortable decision to make that further investment. So that's kind of how we grew into the equipment fleet that we've acquired.
Yeah, and I can add to that there was an Iowa film made called Field of Dreams, and they said if you build it, they'll come. We have lived and died by that practically. We get a sense from the market, from our association memberships and so forth, and the literature that's out there, and we tend to lead the way. So we tend to get the equipment, like with the OSEI ColorWave 900. We're actually providing a solution before they've even realized they have the need, and that's been very successful for us in this market.
Good. Well, good to hear. Well, now I'm noticing a lot of questions that are all centering around the same common theme. What entry-level printer would be a good one to start with? Several people are asking that kind of question. Any advice for somebody who doesn't have one but wants to just begin?
Again, over to you, Mike.
And I don't actually mean so much a model, an actual model, but, maybe what technology, what type of printer, that kind of thing.
I would say, in regards to, as I was mentioning in the presentation, versatility. I think right now out there, the latex line is only comes in roll fed, and it does provide the weatherproof inks and, just what seems to be, and it's also the hottest out on the market, but some of that versatility you may be looking for. If you can step up the flatbed, certainly a smaller model will allow you, you can certainly get white ink on roll fed as well. I'm just kind of thinking out loud, and I apologize for that because that tends to extend things, but I would say the latex line gives you the most versatility right now in regards to what you could entertain, and then if it's a matter of extending, as I was referencing, I went originally with a 42 and learned in a hurry I probably should have gone 54 because it really wasn't going to be that much more of an investment, but yet what I found myself limited to really kind of hurt me in that original phase.
Good tip. Stephen, you have a different point of view?
I would just add one more thing with regards to the entry-level devices. There's certainly no one size that fits all. It really depends on where you think you're heading. So you need to not only look at your current market, but let's say this takes off, you get whichever device, and then you say, if this takes off, where do we think we're going to be in a year's time? And it's much more cost effective to make the little bit higher investment up front and have more longevity on that device than go with something that's suiting an immediate perceived need but doesn't have any future. So I would recommend to anybody starting a flatbed, only because you can do roll substrates on a flatbed, even if you don't have the roll attachment, but you can actually print roll material on a flatbed. So you can get started with just about anything you want to do if you have a flatbed, plus you have the whiting capability.
Mm-hmm. Couple questions on construction drawings, AEC, print demand. If you do those, do you see them going from black and white to color, and has the MemJet increased what you do in color in terms of construction drawings?
Yes, it certainly has. I can attest to that just this week. I think it was Monday. We had a customer come in with a set of drawings, just a mechanical and electrical set, which he would normally have had printed in black and white on one of our OSA machines. But the ColorWave 900 prints at the exact same speed as the black and white machine, and so our customer service person, which they've been trained to do, suggested that since the drawings were in color already, which the mechanical electrical drawings usually are, said, why don't you print these in color? They'll be much easier to read and understand. And the person said, oh, you can do that, but I'm in a hurry. He said, we can do it in the same time frame. And so that's one example, but we've had many where people have come in with renderings of different facades. One was a Harley-Davidson building recently, and it had different facades and what the exterior cladding was going to be like. And we said, well, boy, that would look so much better if you printed that in color. And he said, oh, well, I never thought of that. That would be great. And so we're seeing every day we're seeing people getting switched from black and white to color for their architectural work.
Good. Any guidance either you can offer on square foot selling price?
We have our regular color our output, whether it's latex roll or the flatbed rigid substrate, and we sell the ColorWave 900 at least at this stage for a minimum of half the cost that it would cost on one of our other devices. And obviously there's a difference in quality. It doesn't have the outdoor durability in terms of longevity. And so if people want the higher quality, we have that. But if they just want quick and fast, good quality but not so durable, yeah, we charge them about half. So I can tell you for architectural drawings, you're between 75 cents and a dollar a square foot depending on the volume. The lowest we'd probably go is about, I'd say, probably 55 cents a square foot. So that would be, what, about $5 for a 4x6 print.
Mike, do you have another perspective on that?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, Stephen was somewhat alluding to it, and I'd use the phrase, I mean, pricing to the project. There certainly is commodity printing that's going to go on out there, and there's banners that you're going to need to price to $4 or $5 a square foot, depending on the finishing, the size, and the volume. But it's something where, I mean, there is a market out there that just, I mean, you can customize things to where you can ask for a little bit more than what the online commodity solution may be able to offer. And that, I mean, you can find them, as I just mentioned, that, I mean, it's even going below four. Me being bricks and mortar, I can't really get into that market as much, but I'm also here as a voice to receive that call. And as Stephen had referenced in his presentation, I mean, the quality and service will end up mattering in this, because there is somebody that the client may want to point a finger at if this banner starts fading, if it starts bleeding, and people seem to take that in consideration. So they will pay a little bit more if you can value add here and there for, once again, pricing to that use. You find out what they're using for. If it's a one-time thing, know that and adjust your price accordingly in order to get the work in. But if it's something that's longer term, as odd as it may sound, You can play for price. I mean, you don't always have to price it to the paper. You can price it to what it is they're going to use it for. And it took us a long time to learn that, but it certainly has applied itself.
Good tip. A lot of people, I guess, are noticing and liking the large graphics, the wall wraps, and you know, column wraps, window wraps, things like that, and asking what kind of a learning curve is there for installation of you know, wraps like that.
So we have our own installer, and it took us two bites at the pie to get a good one. Yes, you have to have an experienced person who's detail-oriented, who can do the same thing over and over again, and do it the same way, not trying to experiment every time. There is a learning curve, but there are schools that installers can go to, and there's also national organization. I think it's the national, I can't recall the name now, but it's a national organization of installers that you can call on that are professionals at what they do.
Good. Another question from an entry-level perspective, asking flatbed or roll-fed, what would be best if you're just starting out?
It depends on your budget. There's enough hybrid machines out there that allow you to take the option of both, that you could certainly evaluate, but at what price point do you want to enter into the market as well? And the flatbed will give you some features and variable functions that roll fed certainly will not, but you could be spending $100,000 versus $15,000 when it comes to making that decision and jumping in. So if you want to ease into that $100,000, there's other vendors and companies out there that I think would be out there willing to help. And you don't need to necessarily make that investment. But if you're confident going in and you already know that you've got a feel for your market, it's certainly it would be $15,000 not that well spent if you know that you're going to have to upgrade to the 100 very soon.
Do you did you have more to add, Stephen?
No, I second that 100%. I think it's dependent on the market, but I would not go inexpensive. Because remembering that when you pay less for a printer, your consumables are higher.
Yeah. Speaking of consumables, do you have catalogs that show the different types of paper that are available? How do you handle that to show people?
We do. We've got swatch books available with not only rigid substrates, but the roll-fed substrates as well. I mean, that's our salespeople go out there with those, and really it's a pretty good selling tool, because if they are just envisioning us at printing on a canvas, then they see the suite of substrates that are available, and oftentimes, as I was referring to with the creative individuals, sparks a lot of activity going on up there in that mind, and we end up providing them a lot more than we had originally anticipated.
And sometimes if they see it, they'll get excited by it, so we always have lots and lots of samples in a kit. One other thing I wanted to mention is a great takeaway tip for anybody that's getting into this market or is already in it and having trouble with Pantone colors. We give all our salespeople a Pantone swatch book called the Color Bridge swatch book. And what it does is it shows you the Pantone color, and then it shows you the CMYK bill that a printer is capable of reaching. And many times those colors are very, very different, and very important to show your customer up front that if you choose this particular bright orange, we don't have any printing devices that can match that Pantone orange. This is the closest that you're likely to get. And that heads off a lot of problems when we're talking to customers about different substrates and different printers. We tell them, you know, what the capabilities are right up front.
Good, good. Well, there's still a number of questions left, but we only have about a minute left. So what I think we might try to do is if these are questions that our speakers can answer, we'll try to send you an email with the answer and help you out that way. But I want to thank both of you for your participation here today and all the information that you gave to us. And on behalf of Printing Impressions, Implant Graphics, and our sponsor, Canon Solutions America, I want to thank everyone out there for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all of our archived and upcoming webinars. And also, if you like what you heard here today, click on the IPG widget below to get a free subscription to Implant Graphics. If you'd like to take just a minute to fill out the brief survey that will appear on your screen next, we would be very grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. And with that, I hope to see you all at the next Printing Impressions Implant Graphics webinar. Have a great day.